Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesha Sunyavadi Askachare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, in this morning lectures which I hold this year, the purpose is to strengthen our community, to give some ideas. And if we think what will make Pandavasena so irresistibly attractive, then I suggest we ask three questions. That is, what do we want the members of Pandava Senas to become? What is that we think the members of Pandava Senas should do to become a strong community? And the third question is, where do we want our members to go? Something very concrete. I try to answer all these three questions. I wouldn't say answer, but give some suggestions for maybe further thought. By answering these three questions in this way, we want our members to mature in their relationship with Krishna. And this really refers to one and all. Therefore, if you want to do something or suggest something which is an umbrella for all age groups and interests, then you need something very broad. And I've thought that's the purpose of life, to mature or grow in our relationship with Krishna. And children should have an opportunity to do this by being engaged and cared for properly. Skeptics, old devotees, I call them returners, devotees who have left Pandavasena, but take a second look on Pandavasena and think, that was the best time in my life. Let me rejoin. The second question, what do we want our members to do, and I will go a little bit more into this today, to pursue three kinds of relationships: to Krishna, to each other, and to new people who are open to spiritual life. And where do we want our members to go and be situated and be maintained and inspired? That is into the Pandavasena ecosystem. From what I talked briefly yesterday with Naveen Krishna Prabhu, who will have a important presentation this evening. I think it's this evening. Is it true, Abhishek? Maybe 4:45, so late afternoon. And he will touch upon this ecosystem a little bit more. It is his term, which he found a very telling term. A perfect ecosystem nourishes insects, frogs, deers, elephants, everyone, and everything is in balance, and it's just the best place to live in. So I will not talk so much about this, because I think he will be able to cover this subject much better. Or I don't know exactly Naveen's presentation, but he told me he will certainly touch on this. Yeah, good. So now I want to just say something which is obvious, but then I want to go into something which I feel is at the crux of the matter. It's the sensitive. I'm picking up from our Sutta Abba, who gave such a nice presentation, which I felt was very complimentary to what we are doing here. It really fitted nice. Sensitive topic I also want to address from a slightly different perspective. So, yesterday I asked you a question. If you want to define Pandavasena in one word, what is it? And I really think all of us need to think about it. This morning when I woke up, a sudden flash of inspiration came. Divine community. But then, when I was already under the cold shower, I always have a warm shower and then a cold shower, I thought, my inner critic said, divine community, maybe that's not so good. So I think it's a process. This is what I want to express with it, which is good to think about and pray for, and it will come after some time. So that is our one. We need to find our word or our sentence, brief, succinct, and everyone should feel, wow, this is what I want to be part of. It should have some attractiveness to it, and so on. Now, we all know, and we heard many, many, many lectures about this, that if you want to achieve something, you need a plan of action that is intended to accomplish your mission or achieve your goal. Normally this is known as strategy, but I thought to unpack this word a little bit for you. How can you achieve, let us say, a divine community? It's only a working title. I don't think that's the name, but just out of the blue, I'm just using any name. I could also use an acronym. That maybe that's a good acronym. Today I heard a wonderful acronym, SMILE, Spur to Programs, for S, M for something else. You know, it needs some further thought, and I'm not an English-speaking person. I'm just trying to learn your language in more detail, so it needs English-speaking people. But you do need an inspiring plan of action which is broad enough that it gives space or room even for the small child. I liked very much this morning when we came together for worshiping. Everyone was there. The small children were participating by holding the flower baskets, and then there were young people playing midanga and etc. So everyone should be welcomed in that. So I'm now going into the main body of my presentation for today. This plan of action must be aligned to what we want to achieve. That is an inspired and inspiring community. And we yesterday understood relationships play a very important role in that. If you don't like your mentor, you will not go to him. You will find many excuses, strong excuses and weak excuses, but the main thing is you will not go to see him. So relationships do play an important role, and they need time and forums to form. You can't say, "Go Krishna, be the friend of Mukunda Das." I've used a name which I hope is not in the room. And friendships or deep relationships are not, cannot be ordered. And you can give thousands of lectures that it's important, but no one will enter deep relationships unless you provide the facilities for this. I have asked once Jairadhe from Alachu and her husband Manoram. They do these youth bus tours, and we hear that our youth who are now contributing to our society very much, they all joined at one stage the bus tours of Jairadhe and Manoram. And I asked the two of them, what is the purpose of these bus tours? Listen to the answer which I received. We create memories. This is an important aspect of any relationship. For instance, my relationship with Naveen Krishna started in Inishrad. What is the island called? Govinda Dweep? Is it Govinda Dweep? There was the Pandava Sena summer trip, and I saw Naveen Krishna the first time there. I saw also his, I think at that time you were maybe not yet married. I saw his to become wife. I didn't see the children, they were not there at that time. And I do remember over our life, we have come together in a few summer trips. Then I was invited to contribute to the Pandava Sena. So we have met. I have invited Naveen Krishna, Syam Gopal, and Bhuta Bhavana to visit me in Germany at my little lake ashram. And they came and we had spent time. We visited the German wall, the big wall which separated the country in an almost traumatic way into East and, or divided the country into East and West Germany. And I thought with all of this, in this way, we create a relationship. We do something together, something which we will memorize and which will form maybe one of the wooden planks in the platform of our relationship. Platform, this is a platform, and this is a wooden plank. We did this together. Do you remember? Do you remember the bonfire which we had in Goloka Dham? And by this, a relationship begins to start. Of course, then there are at one stage deep discussions, then there are deeper discussions of a personal nature. But in order to form a relationship, you do need to have a shared story. Is this a good English word, Nimai? shared story. We do do something together, and so on. And I would add common experiences or mutual experiences where you have experienced something. And ultimately, in order to create a heart-to-heart relationship, you require confidential exchanges where people are feel free to open their hearts and talk about what matters most for them. These three elements are, I would say, a must. There must be, I think there are many more, but this is what I came up with. A shared story, mutual experiences, and confidential exchanges. I believe if you take this mentorship program, I'm speaking of what we have, I wanted to say this mentorship trip, we call it, you know, our gathering right now, serious, you will be able to improve on your relationships. There's a shared story. We walked up and down the staircase with Kirtan. It's in itself not a particularly brilliant activity, but we shared something, we did something together. Would be nice if someone would have fallen over the railing without breaking the bones, of course. Then we would have a shared story. That would be something to, you know, falling in the Christmas tree and so on. A shared story. And I think Pandavasena is aware of this. That's why you have these summer trips. And I see all the devotees, also senior devotees, take part in this because this creates really memories, a shared story. Like, do you remember the summer trip to Sweden and the nice experience on the Harinam? I still remember Raj went barefoot on the street of Stockholm. I thought he's a modern saint. So yes, a common experience, something which was common to both of you or as a group. And very important, confidential exchanges. Now, as we want to make Pandavasena strong, this is my next point, we need to be crystal clear about the purpose of Pandavasena and also communicate it. This was strong. This was an exclamation mark. Oh, it starts again. No, this was planned. So once again, because it seems to be a dramatic point of interest, we need to be crystal clear about the purpose of Pandavasena and communicate it. Because maybe a person might expect this to be a social gathering and he will be disappointed. Because yes, there is a social dimension in it, but it's ultimately spiritual. It aims to develop, to, how do you say, so that we can mature in our relationship to Krishna. I'm saying this, that although I think it is a fine preaching strategy to somehow or other invite people to come to the to our gathering, at one point, you know, we must invite new people, of course, and so, and therefore we will highlight certain aspects. You know, we have very nice journeys to various countries and so on. We will say, but at one step, you must make it very sure and communicate it, what is the purpose? Otherwise, you have in 20 or 50 years, two people coming to Guru Puja and the rest eating breakfast because they think this is a good food association for interesting recipes. They don't know that the purpose is to mature in our relationship to Krishna. Or this is something about social gatherings, a social group of various things. People expect all kinds of things of communities. Some expect material support, that there will be money given when I go there. Or you may laugh about it, but I have heard one person saying, I go to Pandavasena because it's an excellent marriage pool. Yes, I have heard. There are so many intelligent, this was a man, so many intelligent ladies. I said, yeah, Hare Krishna. I was not sure, should he come and then transform after some time his motivation, or should he be clarified? My dear devotees, I have to tell you this. I was once in Cologne. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was packing the car because we needed to go to some event, some music festival, and we needed to travel. It was somewhere in Austria the whole day to, so we started early, and then someone came to me. He was reeking from alcohol, and he asked, "Is the sect living here?" At first, I wanted to give him a harsh answer, but I soon became interested. What is going on in him? I said, "Yes, here these are the monks of the Hare Krishna movement." "Yes, exactly, the sect," he said. "I'm interested to join." I said, "Why?" "Well, I have no girlfriend. I have seen they are singing and dancing, and there are persons of interest singing and dancing, so I want to join, and I want to, etc." I don't want to go into the detail because it is a bad taste to talk about it so in detail. So that is not what it is about, and therefore I would like to make the point now. My dear devotees, when we speak about maturing, reaching our goal in a relationship-oriented society, that's what a community is. A community, the members have a relationship with each other. It's called an intentional community. We need to see, what do we mean with the relationships? Is it the relationships which people who go to social gatherings have? Is it the relationship which people have who come for material support? We have founded a charity in India called Braj Care, and the people who come to us, and that's totally all right, they come for material support, you know, meals and medicinal support and so on. Is it we must be clear, this is what it is, and I want to therefore stress again, we pursue three types of relationship. One to Krishna, the other to devotees, the third, outsiders who are open for our message, and the asuras we really don't have a relationship, we don't come too close. So therefore, I have said three. This is taken from the verse which Sutapa had kindly projected for us on the screen. This is what a devotee pursues, these three types of relationship. And the moment you define relationships with these elements, the relationship changes. It's no longer a social gathering. It's no longer a marriage pool. It has other values and standards. Let me give you an example. Gaur Krishna is known in Germany as Cook Prabhu, because, believe it or not, he can cook excellent meals. His absolute, I would say, where he is five star, so good, is Khichdi. But the ingredients which are in the Khichdi could be slightly modified. You can take rice and make kheer out of it. You could take the sabjis and make a Mediterranean tongue explosive out of it. You know, which you get out of the tongue and pang, it's so good. You can take the water for halava and it becomes something else than khichdi. So the way you define the usage, define a relationship, gives it a total different taste. The moment relationships are in this relationship cross, I call it, you have put it in your notebook, something you do each day in relationship to Krishna, each day. Something which you do each day in relationship to the close ones. You see them as devotees, not just material people. Something you do each day to spread this to the, sometimes we say innocent, the people who don't know yet, but who are open. That will totally transform our Sangha. That will give our relationships a transcendental taste. That will help that our relationships are not, I would say, sinking into the realm of material relationships where they tend to be exploitive. I want this and you should supply that, and so on. This is what I wanted to say about relationships. I'm almost done. Wonderful. I want to stop here and see, do you have questions on this? Or it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You're looking at me and I'm looking at you. Let me try to make it a little bit more clear even. I want to give you a task in your life. I request you to, well, you have written this thing down with the four lines in between. My dear devotees, let me speak from my own experience. What I do every day is I visit these spaces. Like yesterday, I remembered I was tired, so I retired into my room. And then I thought my day is not complete. I must do something in my relationship with Krishna. I have spoken so much about it. I've chanted my rounds, but some of the rounds, I must be honest, I squeezed in between. They were not super good. I was not satisfied. So let me end the day and invest in my relationship with Krishna. So I have a prayer book. I prayed the Gopinath prayers. and I really took them to heart. Yesterday, I have associated a lot with devotees. I felt I didn't need to do anything in that quarter because I had been spending time with devotees from morning till evening. But I felt also I was deficient yesterday in doing something for the non-devotional people or from the, you know, open people. So I thought a little bit more about how to present something for the yoga community to convince them of Krishna consciousness, that it's really in line with Patanjali Yoga Sutras. And I felt, wow, good. And I vowed in my heart I will be careful with the Asuric productions, which are very much there in the film industry and the this industry and the that industry. And I felt now my day is complete. I think we should all visit each day the three at least. It's just like a heart, you know. A heart has four chambers, no? In one chamber we have Krishna, in the other chamber we have what? Devotees, then we have the sympathetic people and the, well, the asuras, let them get not be come into our heart. We have Gonitai or you know, or Nishingadev or Radharani or, you know, some good thing. So this is very important for me to say. Krishna. So everything is clear here, or I see there is one. It's not a filler, it's a question, isn't it? Family. It is very important to see our overall goal. We want to become Krishna conscious and we want to give Krishna consciousness to others, and if we are drawing, building walls around our monastery or our house, this will not serve the purpose very nicely. What I've always heard, Vrinda Kumari, is when you associate with people who are really, you know, who are not innocent. Most people are innocent. We are sometimes too here. But there are also people who are really... the moment the word Krishna or God comes, it's like they react like... as if someone drilled in their mouth and hit a nerve, you know, they become really, you can see, they don't like it. They don't like Krishna. I think at that time we should not take a knife and, you know, fight the battle of Kurukshetra. but we should be careful. Should be careful. It's called the osmosis of association, you know, when people have a very strong concentration in their life, and you may not be so concentrated in your spiritual life because it's you have only picked it up in this life, and they are already many lifetimes sworn to their way, then there is a bigger concentration in their heart than in your, and it could happen that you become influenced in some ways, which is not favorable in Krishna consciousness. I've sometimes seen, in being together with these people, I find it very favorable, because I think, I really don't want to be like that. Sometimes, has it happened to you also that you think, and it's very clear where they are going. But this doesn't mean that we regularly go into their association, it's just... Vinda Kumari, I think I understand where you're coming from. I don't think we should be too overly sensitive, and then we also create a dilemma which is not there. Then we think, oh no, it's so dangerous, Then we go like this through the world and. Hare Krishna. But in our scriptures we find many, many stories about how people had unfortunate association and how they picked something up. It's almost a germ comes into you. I don't know how to explain it differently. You know, devotees, we have a few devotees who come, have returned from India, and they have so many bacteria in their intestinal tracts. You know, somehow they've picked that up, you know, and now they're really, this really, in two cases, it's really severe, organs are in danger, and so on. So you have to be aware. Of the influences, they come subtly, and then they might endanger your spiritual life. And you, yeah. But at the same time, you should not be panic-stricken, and then you create the problem with your mind. You know. Do you know Count Dracula? Have you heard about him? I heard he is a historical figure. He was in Romania, yes, and he, what is historically sure, he took the Turkish invaders and he put them onto this, you know, poles who had a sharp end, and he just, you know, put them with their sacred behinds on it, and they died a slow death. That was the Count Dracula, which is historically, he was a fierce soldier, and a count who was the terror for the invading Turkish army. Now, we all know you have your author Bram Stoker, who has written a novel about him. It's about Count Dracula coming to England and doing things to the English people, and he has become a scare when you hear Dracula. There was once a student from England who went to Romania, and he went into a place where he was taking a rest. And he was, it was a, how do you, rest house? How do you say, call these places where you can go and sleep for a night? What? Something like a hotel, oh Krishna. I drank too much smoothie this morning. He came into a hotel, and in the midst of the night, he sees Count Dracula coming into the room. First, he hears that scream outside. When Dracula came, there were always vampires with him, the story tells us. So he hears the scream of the vampires outside. Then then he hears steps on the wooden planks before his door. It's a simple hotel. And then he sees the fierce eyes of Dracula looking at him, and then he feels the scratch on this vein, the vein on the neck, and he's really scared. He screams for help, and minutes later the light goes on in his room, and he sees the big bodied owner of the hotel. It's a lady who stands and says, what are you doing? Dracula was here and he was on my vein. Well, how do you conclude this? Said the lady. There's no Dracula here. No, I hear the scream outside announcing his arrival. He said, the lady said, that was our sheep who gave birth. Now then I heard the steps of Dracula on the wooden planks. Ah, said the lady. You know, our hotel is a little old, and when in the night sometimes the wood makes sound. But then the door flung open. Yes, that was the wind. But the eyes which stared at me. Yeah, that was the cat which lied on the feet, and you, because you are so nervous, the cat jumped at you and scratched your neck. He had produced the whole story in his mind. Are we not sometimes doing the same? We create scares and fears and so on in our minds. I would say, when you are as a grihastha in this world, behave normally, politely with everyone. Don't ask, are they asuras with fangs? But at the same time, be a little careful of influences. And if you are honest with yourself, you know, oops, I picked up a germ here which is not belonging to my system. That is what I want. Thank you for your Vrinda Kumari, isn't it? I can't see, so this is for close inspection. For Vrinda Kishori, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not so good with names any longer. Good. Should we continue? I would be Abhishek, I would say I would energize you now, one hand up and the other hand up, but Abhishek will do this with us. I want to now speak about the six languages of good relationships. I have I said we should have spiritual relationships, or at least not create the idea of a relationship, and then people will think this is a marriage pool or material support group or a social gathering of Englishmen and Englishwomen. We should ourselves live on the right track, and we should give this to others. That was my point. And for this, there are six languages which you have to learn. They are given to us in the Upadeshamrita, and I believe they are known to you. It is giving and receiving gifts. I have reduced them into three categories. My dear devotees, please Do not underestimate these things. Giving and receiving gifts does not refer only to nice packaged books who have a nice cover and a nice string around them. It means also to give time to someone, to give the gift of your attention to someone. I would suggest practice this regularly. You have a great opportunity here. Also what I do whenever I visit someone, I bring some small gift with me, and so on. The next is known to you also, asking confidential questions and sharing confidential answers. What I see that many people nowadays become uncomfortable when you get too personal. They are very comfortable in the shallow waters of unsatisfying superficial discussions. They are very expert even. They learn how to express themselves very craftily in the shallow waters, but inside of them they just die from loneliness. Try to get to something that has life. Try to get to something, and the best is you start. You say, you know, when someone asked you, how was the mentorship? You could say, good prasadam. And that's all what you say. It's the most comfortable for you. You do not have to think at all. You can give a standardized answer. But you could also think, was there something that touched me? Maybe in Sutapa's presentation. Maybe a point which struck me when I discussed with someone. And then don't be shy to immediately go there. And you will see the whole quality of your discussion is lifted out of these shallow waters. You know, they have, these shallow waters have the temperature of warm urine, but they are not nourishing at all. You will immediately see, wow! And if whatever you give in the conversation, that usually comes back. My dear devotees, I have made a vow inside of myself many years. I will not engage in shallow conversations, because if I do, I feel after 1 minute I just want to turn around and move away and put someone a proxy for me in there. Oh, you could talk to so and so, and so on. And I have seen, by making this vow, or making this to speak about what matters most, I have developed such wonderful relationship, trusting relationships, where devotees and normal people who I meet on airports and on my programs, they confide deep things in me, and we have a meaningful discussion. So asking confidential questions and sharing confidential answers. You are too shy to do this. I sometimes hear you talking to each other. It's when you don't see me around, then I'm just passing by like the wind and hearing, and I'm not always satisfied with the depths of your discussions. Matajis, I don't know, but our man, it doesn't show often that you are on a spiritual path, what you discuss. It's you have totally decoded this. And the last is giving and accepting prasad. It's nice, you know. When you speak these languages, giving and receiving gifts, asking confidential questions, sharing confidential answers, and giving and accepting prasadam, my dear devotees, you will meet people who open up to you. They feel cared for, and they will decide, I belong to this movement. So, Hare Krishna. So, yes, I have more or less talked what I wanted to present. I have one last point. I want to now request you to build teams of two. Yes? Something is wrong with the atmosphere in this hall. Maybe I'm wrong. Abhishek, what should we do? It is a drowsy morning. Should we do exercises? Yes. Open the windows, maybe. Hare Krishna. Good. I know one exercise. I know many, many exercises. Mm-hmm. Must do one exercise requires. I only know the simple one at the moment because I have no music and nothing with me. Let me just request you to get up. You have to do something with you.
Maybe we open the window. Is it open? We will do the whole energizing program now. Nothing works this way. I request you to roll your heads like me in a nice circle. And breathe very deeply. Then I request you to lower your arms like this.
First, very small circles. Now we will slowly, according to our capacity, widen the circle. And you come back, you breathe out, and you come in the front, in, out. Oh yeah.
I won't look at the ladies' answer, you can freely move. Try to make the widest circle. You should have a chest as wide as England. It's so big. Then you bring the arm up, look at me, in, then you bring it down, out. If you start to sweat, that's very good. I must say, you are such a sympathetic group. You just need to make exercises and everyone feels well. And talk philosophy without any drastic words. And everyone falls asleep. My God, what are you? But very sympathetic. You are suddenly my family. Good. Now we will turn our hip, feet right apart. And you can look at me. When you are in the back, breathe out. When you are at the front, in. We are preparing for the big action. This is what Bruce Lee does before he attacks. Now the other way around. Do we have this in England? The young girls in Germany have this movement and they have a ring around and the balance. But this is what Bruce Lee does. So it's now, my dear devotees, comes a smooth little forward bend. Look at me first.
Breathe in. And then you go down from the hip. When you come out and up and out, yes. When you come down. So, I mean, Krishna, you have room for improvement. Okay, this was the preparation.
Now, now watch me. You go down, your second behind goes as much away. Let me be not impolite. Let me do it to the end side. And then your arms come forward and you do this on an exhale.
Clear? Go, Krishna, this is for you.
Yes? Please stand. You intend to do this 1,000 times. Janakina, you are highly impressive. You must stretch out the arms. They come forward and go back when you come up. Now 993. You have lost a little lot. You must increase the speed. We have 893. So we will do now 3 more. 1, oh, 3, 2, 3.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Oh, it's good, no? So to create, my God. So I wanted to just say there are four elements, of which I have explained three so far, to create spiritual community. Radhika Ranjan, you look almost like anesthetized. You should do this more regularly. We create a community by creating a shared story. We need to do something together and make common experiences. It happens during kirtan, for instance, or other things. And we should not shy away from confidential exchange. I know it's sometimes uncomfortable. One can talk easier about environment, new cars, new mobile phones, but it won't satisfy us. Is it shallow? The next point I wanted to say is to make sure that we are on the level where we have a spiritual community. There should be relationships not only between men and men, or, I mean, humans, I want to say, but it should be on the spiritual level. So that is ensured by each day visiting my relationship to Krishna, my relationship to devotees, my relationship to the people who are sympathetic, to whom I'm preaching. That will uplift you and it will uplift the community. The next thing is you have to learn a language in your community, which is traditionally known as giving and receiving gifts, asking confidential questions and sharing the answers, and then giving and receiving prasad. This is there. My final point is, I read in a book, it was published by, I believe, Niranjana Maharaj. He had for a long time analyzed how relationships are best working. And he said, if 60% of the time which you set aside for relationships are spent with equals, 60% with equals, if 20% of the time which you spend with in relationships is spent with superiors, and if 20% of your time is spent with juniors, then you are very balanced in your life. I found this is so good. 60% of the time with equals, 20 with superiors, and 20 with juniors. Now, I hope you will not go with one of these new Apple wristwatches, and then while you are in association, you measure the time you are in association. That would look really foolish, and it would block the flow. But it's just something to keep in mind. I have seen when you are together with equals, like in my case with my exalted God, I mean, I'm not exalted, but with God brothers, if I don't have this, I don't have anyone who tells me, oh, here's room to improve, here's something which... I often see in discussions, oh, here I was a little unbalanced, here I see better. Then, if I don't go to superior people, this is not so good. And also, if I don't spend time where I help others, it's also not so good. This is what I wanted to present to you. So, I'm a little bit... I need your encouragement now a little, because you were so, I think you had eaten also a lot, and you were digesting, so you were a little bit a crowd which needed to do some exercises, let us say it in the politest of terms. Hare Krishna. Yes, I have come to the end. I have reserved the rest of this session for questions and answers, and would be very happy if there are some few questions which make us which are helpful for this gathering. Hare Krishna. Wow, now you all, what happened? It's just the knee bends, and then you... I saw this devotee first, yes. Hare Krishna. What is your good name, please?
My name is Rishi.
Rishi, there's also another Rishi.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, so those involved in preaching services often put themselves on the line with the world, and it can sometimes be dangerous for one's spiritual life, and in some cases they have been captivated by the material energy and stopped practicing, for example. What can devotees do to stay safe and protected when preaching?
To stay protected as they preach. Rishi, let me first of all say, I'm speaking now as a preacher who has done this his whole, no, not all of his life. I've spent 5 years translating Srila Prabhupada's books from English to German. Not all of, some of his books, I should say. I really feel when you preach or give Krishna consciousness away, somehow it increases in you. It's often a misunderstanding to think that if you preach, you have association with people who are of total different mindsets and so on. If they are not entirely asuric, which is really rare, your Krishna consciousness will increase the more you give it away. That's one of the that shows Krishna consciousness is not a material thing. It is even there, Rishi, that you will get blessings of Krishna. He says there's no one dearer in this world than someone who preaches, and the powerful blessings of Krishna are extremely helpful. I can only say preach as soon as possible. Even if you don't know much, join the Harinam party, distribute maybe some books on the site, or go to your friends. It will be very, very good. You say preachers have fallen away, and that is a fact. But so have devotees who stay in the temple. The preacher... why does a devotee fall away? It's because inside of his heart he develops doubts, and that can happen in the temple and outside of the temple equally. Of course, those preachers who have gone to extremely dangerous situations, that is true. I remember, Rishi, we went to festivals, music festivals, and people were dressed, undressed, both men and women, and they were pouring water on the ground, which became muddy, and they were throwing the mud at each other, and then they came dressed in a mud caked body. They came to eat prasadam, and you were handing out prasadam like this. So I don't think nowadays we don't go in such situations. They are very rare also. what can preachers do? Prabhupada spoke a lot about this. He said, "You, in order to stay enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness," he mentioned to get up at the proper time, to use the morning hours for either worship or reading and chanting and so on. It's very good to use the morning hours for a regular spiritual program. If you can do this, my dear devotees, this will be very good. It says at the Brahma Muhurta, the Lord gives life, spiritual life, to those who are awake and engaging in spiritual practice. And those who are asleep, they are kept alive during the Brahma Muhurta, but not spiritual life. So you have a regular spiritual program. We have seen with the devotees all over the world, we have discussed this, when they have a strong spiritual sadhana, where they read and chant, then they are so full with Krishna consciousness that when they go out, they don't become empty. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes, Radhika Ranjan.
Hare Krishna. I appreciate that you're sharing about your vow of avoiding superficiality. I'm new entering this school. I somehow, throughout my life, have somehow always been in this trap of having conversations in a superficial way. Even I noticed when I was preaching, it was in a superficial way. It wasn't really a heart connection, but it was giving for the sake of giving, because I knew one day I'd get purified. I was wondering if you could just expand a little bit on this, what has helped you to remain real, and also in so doing, not also becoming cold, because sometimes I notice when we're really too real with people, they can sometimes also feel that, oh, why is he not so pleasant anymore? Or why is he not just saying the pleasantry things like, mm-hmm, that's wonderful and amazing, and
yeah,
so
awesome. There is a danger of becoming cold because you think you're better than others. Sutapa addressed this yesterday when he said that he is blessed with a healthy body and can always, no matter when he goes to bed, observe the morning program. Did you notice? And he saw himself becoming judgmental towards others. That is a real danger. That is a real danger for all those who excel in spiritual practices to some degree or are stable. And for instance, who say they are, I will not engage in superficial discussions, then they will start to say, everyone who doesn't do it is an, in English, old English, you say, incompeep. You know, he's incompetent. You know, there's a word, incompete or something, something. So this is the danger which comes with this. When you are lazy, you are in danger. When you are spiritually advanced, there is another type of danger, that is pride. And that you have to really watch carefully. You can see, I like this, what Sutapa said. I can maybe eat from a big plate. No, I can eat big proportions of Krishna consciousness, but others can maybe only at the moment eat smaller proportions because their plate or their capability is small. No, you have to see that and not become proud. It's a big issue, Radhika Ranjan. I have seen this also in my personality, that I become judgmental of others who do not do what I do. And then I know if that happens, I lose immediately the sympathy and blessings of Krishna. Immediately it's gone. I'm on my own now. Immediately it's gone. Krishna does not appreciate if any one of his devotees becomes proud. He always, if he likes them, the devotees, he will make an arrangement that they will soon become humble and humbled. If he doesn't care, he will let them walk for thousands of years in pride, marching in pride. Krishna does not appreciate this. There is, in the Gopi Gita, there is a song, "With your smile you destroy the pride of your devotees." That song is there. With your smile you destroy the pride of your devotees. Wonderful poesy from spoken by the gopis. We should be compassionate. And in order to be compassionate, we can practice empathy. Yes, let me please try to remember your name. I talked to you yesterday. Chitti Shakti. Wow. Can't believe it.
Hoping that you would finish what you were talking about yesterday when we were discussing trust. You were going to share a quote, and then you said, "I will share it with you tomorrow."
About trust.
Yes, you were talking about in a loving, strong community. When trust is broken, you're addressing some points, and then you would ask for
I'm looking in my notes because I noticed yesterday I had still a point, but I was going over time, and then I didn't want to go over time, so I didn't say it. It was related to trust, developing trust. Yeah, I remember, and it was a good point. It was a fiery story, but brought. Oh yeah. Hey, thank you. I will find it. I'm in the process of finding it. Yeah. So let me now remember the document which Gaur Krishna obtained. It was in there, but there were 64 points, and I would have to remember the point. Chitti Shakti. I will search for it and tell you. As soon as I find it. At the moment, and I don't want to fake it by saying something on trust now, there was something distinct. I mean, we can try. Gaur Krishna, it will be good for your circulation. Hare Krishna. I must tell you, I'm so grateful to Gaur Krishna. He is of such a good company and such a willing assistant. Nothing is ever too much if it is in the certain, I can't cross the sleeping time of Gaur Krishna. But a few times, yes, but after some time. Anyways, why do I tell this? Anyone else until the document comes? I think I saw, yes. Jagannath Vallabha Prabhu, isn't it? Jagannath Charan Prabhu. Yes, Jagannath Charan.
Hare Krishna. Just to carry on with Radha Ranjan's question, if we find our tendency is to engage in superficial conversations. That comes more naturally, should we say. What can we do to change that into
meaningful,
more meaningful
conversations? Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh yeah, I found it. I will, after this question, I will answer it. I found it. Oh, good. Krishna saved me. Anything new, you must know, when you want to now talk more meaningful, there will be obstacles. The people will say, "Oh, Jagi, Jagi, Jagi." That's how they call you most probably in Pandava Senas, isn't it? And they will talk normally, you know, like you used to talk. And oh, you're just faking it. And they will nudge you and so on and so forth. And then, yeah, I do not know how to deal with the Pandava Senas. I'm together with them for 11 years, but they are enigmatic still, at times, not always. So when there is nudging, which will be there, I do not know. But what I have seen is, you must find something real within you. You can't fake it. And then talk about this real thing. And we know devotees who do this, like Janakinath and so on. You can remain humorous. You can talk about things which are, and you can express yourself humorously. But you will see, in the long run, you will really, really benefit. There's a story. There was once a washer, a washing man, who kept a donkey. And he would give the donkey every day this much of grass. This much of grass. Then he thought, let me give the donkey only half. The donkey did wonderful. He carried the things, the wet cloth, like anything. Then he thought, wow, when the donkey carries luggage, he brings good profit. But if the donkey is fed, he eats away what I make on him. So let me cut the ratio again by half. So he gave him quarter. It worked very nice. The donkey became even more energetic. His brain was more melodically than ever before. Until the man decided, I will cut the half again, the quarter again. So now he gave him 1/8 of his normal food. And the donkey did excellently until one day he fell over and was dead. This is what happens to us also. Yes, we can go on very nicely by talking prajalpa. We can go on very nicely. It's fun, and we will scream yuhay. But after some time, we might be spiritually dead, because that prajalpa steals our spiritual treasure. It steals our spiritual treasure away from us. And we don't take it so serious any longer, the Krishna consciousness. It does something, prajalpa, something unwanted to us. Krishna. Yes? You will see. Talking about spiritual things is an investment in your spirituality. Talking about prajalpa is taking away from the bank account of your spirituality, and you will see the result. One day you will be on minus. I think all you are a very sincere Vaishnava. I see you dancing and chanting so nicely, and you are coming year after year. And I think you live on the credits of your spiritual activities. And when you talk ordinarily, I don't want to give it a bad name, you're living on this credit, you're taking away from it. Imagine you would practice so nicely and then talk inspiring and so on, and remaining a human being with whom, yes, sometimes we need to talk about God and the world, no problem. I promised yesterday four principles on building a trusting community. It is given by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and I remember when I visited Gita Nagari a year or two after his departure, there were cards in the rooms where these four principles of building a trusting community were seen. Would you like to hear these principles? Good. He said, treat everyone you encounter as if the success of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interactions with them. Like when you meet someone, give your best. Understand the success of your spiritual life depends upon the quality of your interactions with them. Siddhi Shakti, because you are a disciple of our Maharaj, I will give you this. You can make a photography with your mobile telephone and then have them ready. They're very, very amazing. Imagine you go into a discussion and thinking, the success of my spiritual life depends upon the quality of one's interaction with them. Imagine, for instance, you go into a discussion and you feel envious towards the person. Oh, he has already two children and you have none in your grihastha life. Or you feel envious about his preaching. Or you feel envy. Then you know, this is not good for my spiritual life. Therefore, it's wise to say, treat everyone you encounter as if the success of your spiritual life depends upon the quality of your interaction with them. Now imagine you go into a conversation and you say, I'm not allowing bad qualities to mix up this, and you give your best. Then also you will advance like anything. Second, view all conflicts as your own fault first. My God, this is on a high bar, right? View all conflicts as your own fault first. I have struggled a lot with this. How am I responsible to what happens? And I have noted, Krishna always sends me the type of situations in the life which I need to grow. So if there is a heavy situation in my life, something that disappoints me, it is because I apparently need that. Some old karma goes by this, or I need a hint. I have seen this in my life. It is really true. Third principle, reflect on the person you love the most and aspire to treat everyone with that same quality of love. Wow, Maharaj sets a high bar. What I do, I'm not so advanced. I think very often of Srila Prabhupada. When I preach, I invoke his image, and I really, that's the first person in my life where I could surrender 100%. And I do, yes, there's something, yes, I do love him, I can say like this, truthfully. So what I do, I may not be able to love him like I love Prabhupada, but I can do one thing, I can imagine Prabhupada loves them, and then do like this. There's a very nice little story. It's about a guru who died, and on his deathbed, he called his disciple and said, "I have one last instruction. Serve everyone like you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead." The disciple said, "I can't do that." "Okay," said the guru, "then serve everyone like you serve me." This is what he said. The disciple said, "Guru Maharaj, I can't do this. I love you so much. I can't love others that much." Then the Guru Maharaj said, "Then you have not followed my first instruction, you have not followed my second instruction. I give you my third instruction. Treat everyone like you would treat your brother. Can you do that?" The disciple said, "Guru Maharaj, I must do that. I must do that. I neglected to follow your first two instructions. I do this." So Guru Maharaj died, and our disciple goes back to his village, and he lives there. And one morning he takes a bath in the river, and a Vaishnava comes by, but he's floating in the river, and he is dead. A disciple sees their neck beads on him. So he is a Vaishnava, and the instruction was, treat all the Vaishnavas not like you would treat your brother. So he understands, my brother, if he's dead, I would give him a cremation. So he takes the dead body out of the river, and he wants to give him a cremation. For that he needs to invite brahmanas and give them a feast. But when the brahmanas understand that they are in a cremation ceremony of a person whose background is unknown, they do not come. So he can't complete the funeral without feeding the brahmanas. What does he do? He despairs. At that moment, all of a sudden, four luminous brahmanas come. They enter his house, they eat, and while they eat, they recite Sanskrit slokas. They're really brilliant. They are joking with each other. They only speak in Sanskrit. They sing, and the whole village comes around to see these charismatic brahmanas who have appeared from nowhere. They all look with wide open eyes at the brahmanas. And after they have eaten, the cremation ceremony is complete. These brahmanas, whom no one had ever seen before, start to walk away, and as they walk away, they start to levitate. Do you know what that is? They begin to hover around the ground, then they're 1 meter around the ground, then they show four-armed forms, and they disappear to Vaikuntha. It were the Vishnu Dutas who had come. So, dealing or respecting Vaishnavas, serving Vaishnavas, is a very, very nice. Therefore, this instruction, reflect on the person you love the most and aspire to treat everyone with that same quality of love. If you can't deal with them like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you can't deal with them like the Guru, try to see them as a brother. No? And the fourth was, realize that the people in your present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live out your life and who will be with you at the time of death. Oh no, you say, I don't want these people around at the time of my death. But if you view them like this, that this is my community, you will give the best. And in this way, the quality in the community will rise. If you want these principles, I mean, they were the guiding light of Gita Nagari. I saw still, when we visited with Pandavasena, Gita Nagari, I saw some of the cards. You also saw Radhika Ranjan. If you want them, you can come with your mobile telephone, if it has a photographic function, and then take a snapshot and send them on WhatsApp to your friends, for instance, or whatever you like to do. Hare Krishna. Thank you for reminding me. I saw this yesterday and thought this would fit nicely. It's one great devotee in our movement who talked a lot about spiritual relationships, how he distilled his point into four principles which help. I highly recommend you at least to look at them, to think about them, and see how you can apply them on your level of advancement. Good. Kapil. Let me just see. Yes, Kapil.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. You spoke about how in relationships we are both sharing, giving, talking about confidential matters, and particularly when we're dealing with our, not only our peers, but also people we're preaching to. Sometimes we might be in situations where people might share with us something on one level, maybe seen as like Vaishnavara or Ninda, or things that essentially could be harmful to them. How do you deal with that, but also at the same time maintaining that sense that they are being heard in that confidentiality and sweetness of that relationship? So that's something I've struggled with.
I think when it is all right if they criticize, if they see, because some things are wrong, you know, and they should be heard when something is wrong. Very often they have a point. But Ninda or parad is something where you add to this justified point a sharp edge, which is hurtful. What I always do, I try to give them another perspective, which maybe they didn't have, and that helps them. It's all right from one perspective. I'm speaking now of a justified criticism. There are many things which go wrong. And then I say, but please let us also see he is a devotee. I remember this in my case. There was a devotee. He is not doing this any longer, but he used to really criticize me. I mean, really. We say, under the belt. It was no longer civilized. And I was always thinking, you know, I have to confess to you, I have a street fighting background. Hopefully this is not coming in the poem. So I was thinking for a moment to take revenge. I must be very honest. It was 20 years ago or so. But then I thought, I'm not doing this any longer. fighting or verbally fighting or mind fight, you know, where you make, no, I'm not doing this any longer, but how can I live with this devotee? And then somehow Krishna was merciful. I also didn't want to speak with anyone about it, because this devotee already was known as someone who had a bitter tongue. And I thought, if it comes out what he I felt it was not good if I talk about it, but how can I live with it? And then I understood by going into his shoes that because I tend to be a little liberal and he was extremely conservative, the reason why he was so sharp and bitter was because he just wanted to protect Srila Prabhupada's movement in his perspective. And I found this out by Krishna's mercy, and I said, I said, can we sit down and talk about it? It's not good if older devotees struggle, or if they hear, it will backfire against you, and also Prabhupada disciples shouldn't quarrel, at least not in the open. Should we? Can we please talk about it? And then I said to him, Prabhupada, I was thinking why you are saying these things, and I understood that maybe you think my liberal statements are jeopardizing Prabhupada's movement. Is it like this? And he said, yes. Then I said, could you please tell me what you heard me saying? Maybe it came through the grapevine and it is not like this, or at least I can clarify. I'm also thinking I'm a follower of Prabhupada. Then we did this, we taught things out, and I remembered when I understood him, I had an entry to his heart and we could clarify it. He became very wonderful. I mean, it happened 20 years ago. It's over, and we are a little different, but we have a very good, polite relationship. I have come to the end. I want to thank you very, very much. My dear devotees, I will be perfectly honest with you. This morning, I know I have not reached you so well. Please excuse me. I tried my best, but sometimes it's not good enough. I want to just say what was essential for me. I have asked three questions earlier, what we want our members to become, and the answer was, we want them what? Not all at once. Grow in their relationship with Krishna. Then we had certain ideas what we want our members to do. That is, pursue three relationships, right? And where do we want them to go? It's a modern word. You can ecosystem, right? But now you need to think a little bit more about this to internalize it. Today I wanted to talk mostly, because we talk so much about relationships, what they could mean, how we can form them, how we can shape them, and it was 4 points about this. We want to share a story with mutual experience. Then I wanted to speak about the three relationships. You remember? Krishna, devotees, the new people, yes, who are open, very nice. And I wanted to tell you from the Upanishamrita that there are three new languages which we may have to learn, to have spiritual relationships, giving and receiving gifts. You have given me half of your attention this morning. This is a great gift. Hare Krishna. We will ask confidential, we will share confidential answers and ask confidential questions, and then we will give and accept prasadam, like this. This is a traditional thing. Do you remember what is a good formula? I thought it is very nice how we can divide our time in relationships. Please tell us. 60% with whom?
Peers.
20% with?
Juniors.
Yes. And 30% with? No, it's 20% we are.
Seniors
who can inspire us. I thank you very, very much and look forward to the poem now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So Maharaj, one thing I have to disagree with you on is that you made a range of points. You made a plethora of points, and it was absolutely amazing. So I don't want you to feel like, although the energy was a little low, you did make incredible points, as we saw in your summary just there. So thank you so much for seminar two, and we hope we do this seminar justice with our summary poem. But before we do that, can we have three loud Hari Bols for His Holiness Sachidananda Maharaj?
Hari Bol.
Okay. So,
yeah. we were just saying before, as we were doing this, Rajanaku made a joke that it's like doing an extreme sport. There's so much tension and pressure because we're like, okay, someone else asks another question. We need to summarize the story. So it's like, it's such a wonderful service of like being able to collate it in a poem sort of way. So
it's very extreme. It's an
very
extreme sport.
People getting hurt in this corner.
Cut this line. Cut that line.
Like, it's not gonna work. Let's
see. But with Maharaj's blessings, everything can work. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. So, I added a line at the beginning of the podcast. What makes Pandavas irresistibly attractive? What do we want people to become? What do we want them to do?
Where do we want people to go so they can join me and you? Where? If we want to achieve something, we need a plan of action.
When you want to create a loving family, you have to kick off a chain reaction
of coming together and creating, singing, dancing and associating, strategizing and planning from festivals to jamming.
Mutual experiences and confidential exchanges is what we should do in all glory.
We want to leave here happily, having understood their shared story.
What is the one word that defines Pandavasena?
A flash of inspiration, singing loud like a tenor. The phrase divine community seems to have some power.
But it's just a working solution, needs some pondering under a cold shower.
We create memories is the message at our core.
This was the phrase given by Jayavadhi and Manorama on the bus tour. For example, Maharaj met Naveen at Nirmani in his wrath.
I don't think Ram and Vishnu were born yet. I'm trying to do the math.
The shared stories and mutual experiences that create memories in our mind's eye to see.
Like imagine falling over the railings at Buckland and toppling the Christmas tree.
So what is the purpose of Pandavasena? Is it just to eat, drink and be buried?
Or is it just about material support, like going across the sea on a ferry?
Is it about diving into the marriage pool, swimming to find someone to talk?
Or is it about staying on dry ground? Mataji, would you like to go for a japa walk?
The mind is like a drunk monkey that's drowning in a flood.
We make up scenarios like Count Dracula
is here and wants to suck our blood. That's really our imagination. In reality, we have to stay firm.
Be polite to everyone, but be careful of influences, or you'll pick up a germ. The way you define any relationship gives it a unique and individualistic taste.
Just like Gaur Krishna, our cook Prabhu, making khichdi for Maharaj with love and less haste. We wake up with simple exercises, but we fall asleep with simple philosophy.
If we don't pick up our energy, what will be our community's prophecy? We're bending down, most people got pretty far. There's always room for improvement.
Gaur Krishna.
Gaur Krishna. Krishna. So in summary, we love you, Prabhu. So in summary, we love you.
We just offended the three most senior.
So in summary, each day we should visit our relationship to Krishna, the devotees, and those that are new.
This will keep us spiritually uplifted. The formula is so simple, who knew? The gift of rapt attention and our focused energy is the greatest that one can give.
Asking confidential questions and sharing confidential answers is really how community should seek to live.
This is the secret, the six loving exchanges, practiced with attention and labour.
If we continue to create meaningful relationships like this, Krishna will grant us his special favour.
Wow.
Okay, and one final point which Maharaj made about when we're in despair
was that Krishna only corrects and humbles us because he really, really cares.
Looking back at the things that have happened, how can I not clearly see?
That all along in my personal journey, Krishna always knew what was best for me.
Let's continue our journey this afternoon and speak about what we want from every member.
Let's help our ecosystem grow from the forest floor to the canopy this year so we can celebrate in December.
Wow! Very good, very good. Very good. Thank you, thank you. Arrivo.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. Like we said yesterday, the poems are just like we're taking your content. As we were getting up, you were reminding us of the 60%, 20%, 20%. So we're like, should we improvise that on the spot? But we can come up with anything. Unfortunately, that point we missed from the poetry. But thank you so much, Maharaj, and I think he deserves another round of applause. Thank you.
So now,
we do have a break, but before